Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today, I'm really excited about our conversation because not only is it practical, but it's also quite personal to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, I've mentioned in other podcasts that our primary work is with colleagues like us,
yeah,
either school leaders or athletic leaders or wherever young people are. We work with the adults who work with the with the students. And this is about adult work. This is about leadership in general, but lessons we've been picking up recently as we attempt to lead growing leaders and learn along the way. And we've been having discussions. So we decided, well, why don't we do a podcast on what we're learning?
The place we're headed ultimately is three leadership topics that we really believe you should discuss with your team. And the reason we believe these so strongly is because these are the conversations we've been having in our office over the last 6 months, really, or longer.
So just to give you context, listeners, we have gone through some changes at Growing Leaders over the last really 6 to 8, 9 months.
Yeah,
I think probably that's right. Would be safest to say. And we realize that every organization goes through changes. Ours were fostered by, we saw some challenges that we had not faced before.
Yeah.
We saw some dips where we had seen incline, now it was decline, and we thought, what's up with this?
Yeah.
And so we all begin to look at each other and talk about it. And, you know, the conversations get either really candid or you just gloss over it and never really face it. And we decided we needed to face it. So we made some changes, some staff changes, some departmental changes. We have two or three, actually three new departments.
Yeah.
You're leading a brand new department now. And we reorged. We have a we reorganized our organization. But it cost a price.
Yeah,
there was a price to pay.
Anybody who's ever been a part of an organization that goes through a period of difficulty followed by a period of change to resolve that difficulty knows that it's difficult. It is hard to look at what's going on and going, you know, we're not doing everything to the best way that we could, you know, the best of our ability or whatever, however you might word that. And I think that's definitely the period we were in where we said, you know what, we've got to take the blinders off, we've got to take the gloves off, and we got to really tackle the problems that we're actually facing. And part of it required reorganization. Part of it, like you said, required new staff. In fact, there's some brand new faces in our office that we're really thrilled about. Young, enthusiastic faces. And I like to think that we wouldn't be in the place where we're at today if it wasn't for us getting very real about our culture and things that needed to change.
I remember distinctly a moment in a board meeting with our board of directors where we were reporting some of the challenges we were having and some of the declines in our finances.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other, or our staff looked at each other and said, they're not getting rattled by this. Why aren't they? And it was so encouraging to hear them say, every organization goes through ups and downs. You know, we all go through bad months and bad quarters and good quarters. So that was relieving. But it was at that point we began to really say, all right, what do we need to do to see an incline, not a decline? And we've gotten to see it again, so it's kind of cool.
Well, here's one of the things I really love about you, Tim, as a leader. There's a lot of things I admire and appreciate about you, but I think when you're going through times where you're processing and dealing with things, one of the things that you do to sort of work through that is you write. You turn every lesson you're learning yourself into a downloadable thought you can give to somebody else. Yeah. And I think that one of the things our team has witnessed over especially the last 6 months or so, is that you have been processing your own thoughts as you're going through this season and kind of coming to our team and going, here's what I think we can all learn.
Yeah.
You've said, yourself included, what we can all learn through this time of change and upheaval and new things and hard things and difficult conversations. And you've sort of started to package this in like, how do we lead well in times of change? Yeah. And I love these leadership principles and lessons that have been coming out of this. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I think let's get into those.
Okay. All right.
And that's really what we want to talk about is these three leadership lessons that you've specifically started to highlight for us and bring about. So I want you to walk through this.
Yeah. So number one, it really has to do with troubleshooting. Everybody has trouble. Okay, this is normal. But we remember recently we talked about the normalization of defects.
Yes.
This is a very interesting concept. It's not that we had not talked about it in years gone by, but boy, was this a fresh conversation for us to today. So every organization, whether it's a school, a sports team, a university, company, experience the normalization of defects. What this is where you're cruising along and you've got the status quo, you've got your routines in all the goods and services you're selling or doing.
Yep, every organization has them.
And some things aren't quite right, but you just put up with them because you're running and gunning and moving forward.
Yeah.
And you say, we can do a workaround on that one. Okay.
It's still functional.
That's right.
Even though it's not optimal.
Yes,
maybe.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get an A+ for that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So a typical personal example, this has happened to me. I have a car I've been driving now for about 18 years. It's a great car. And I don't have any car payments, so it's kind of nice. But because the car's a little bit old, I do workarounds. There's a door handle that's not quite exactly right. There's a little light that comes on the dashboard. You know, and I'll work around that.
Yes.
And you do find ways to work, and it's still doing fine. But I know better. If I took that car in and said, check out that, and that, we'd have a conversation about, oh, this really needs to be solved, not worked around.
Yes.
So,
and there's so many things like that. I mean, probably everybody listening, there's ideas coming to your mind about workarounds you do in life, like handling your car or maybe how I pay my bills isn't optimal, but I get the job done and I'm just used to it. But it really happens in the workplace, you know.
It does.
For us in the past, this is not a recent example, but I think a couple years ago, we did this with our shipping process inside the office, where we realized hours of people's time in our office was spent putting books in a envelope and packaging it and sending it out. And we just realized we could hire an outside company to do that shipping for us, solve some of the defects, do some other stuff with that space that we were using up in the office to do all that shipping. And we just realized we had gotten used to this normalized defect and we hadn't actually solved the key problem, which was we need to actually make better use of our team's time, you know, and our office space and things like that.
So to use a phrase that's commonly used, this is where you have to stop and begin to work on your organization, not just in your organization.
Yeah, that's good.
So the defects in our systems we put up with because workarounds seem doable. That's why we do it. So we still feel successful, so we just keep on going. The negative impact is tolerable. The cost benefit is acceptable. So that's why we do it. But boy, this has been great for us we made lists recently.
We did.
From every department. What are some workarounds we're doing that really aren't solving the true problem?
Yes.
And I feel like it's made us better.
Yeah, and our team has started to force rank those lists too, so we can go, not only what are all of our normalized defects, but what are the top three or four, so that we as a team can start tackling each of those and going, let's not normalize and just pass by these things. So if you want to have a conversation around this, if you're starting to see like, hey, this might be a problem we're dealing with, and by the way, I think this is probably a problem that most organizations are dealing with, let me offer a few suggestions on ways to start the discussion. Here's some questions. What systems or processes that do you currently have in place that feel clunky or maybe inefficient? If you sat down for 10 minutes, I guarantee you could probably come up with some stuff. Might there be, if you really process those things, might there be a better way to reach your goal, a better way to do that system or that process? So those are just a couple of things to think through.
Yeah.
If I might add something, before we go on to the number two, I think as I was thinking about what we're talking about, we're really talking about culture here, how to fix culture and systems and some of those things. One other suggestion as a resource that people might find helpful in dealing with culture, either of their organization, or their school, their office, whatever it is a resource that we actually have, Habitudes, the Art of Changing Culture. It's a really, really fantastic resource. In fact, I tell people, it's my favorite Habitudes course that we have, and it's one that you wrote several years ago.
Yeah.
But the reason it's because it's one of my favorites is because it's some of your most wise insight, I think, on shaping the culture of an organization in some ways that you don't even like realize.
Yeah.
And so I know that you wrote that years ago for folks who are leading a culture and trying to figure out how do we lead in times of change is a part of that.
That's true.
But certainly build great systems and structures.
Yeah.
So I wanted to offer that and kind of push people towards that
resource. It's 13 principles in this single volume. And every principal's anchored with an image. We love to do that. So the images are memorable. And yeah, I think that might be a helpful tool to do these various things we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So if you want to track it down, it's go to growingleaders.com/store, or you can go to growingleaders.com and click on the store. And it's actually under our best-selling Habitudes resources. It's called Habitudes, the Art of Changing Culture. The cover is brown, so you'll see it there.
Yeah.
But I think that might be a great resource if you want to go through it by yourself or with a group of folks in your organization. So, all right, so we did number one. Yep. Talk about the second leadership principle.
Number two is staying in touch. And it's all about communication frequency.
Yeah.
So my epiphany was, and I think I'd known this for years, but it really became a clear, conscious thought at this point, was the more change you're experiencing, the more frequent you have to communicate. Because when we're changing, I feel uncertain. Things are different. I don't have my same routines that I used to have that were predictable. I'm a little scared, maybe feeling a little threatened, maybe a little insecure, and not me necessarily, but maybe a teammate. And I just think communication fills those vacuums that are not being filled right now. So this is just all about during times of change, it's imperative that leaders communicates more clearly and frequently with their teams. And it's because of the reasons I just gave you. Negativity can prevail because people are down on what they're not up on.
We said that before. Phrase.
Yeah, it's so true. So one of the metaphors I've been using, we're probably going to turn this into a habitude, is the flight attendant factor, you know? So you and I fly a lot. In fact, we've been flying a lot these last 2 months.
Yes.
Lots and lots of times. So flights are great, but during seasonal changes, you go through turbulence. As summer becomes fall, as fall becomes winter, that's when you start really getting turbulence. So change brings turbulence. We feel this in organizations. But isn't it true when you're on that flight and you're feeling a little bit uneasy about this bumpy drive you got, isn't it true? You can look at the flight attendant. If you look at the flight attendant and she or he is just still laughing and serving Diet Coke and everything, you go, oh, well, he must be okay.
Yeah.
Leaders have to be flight attendants. We've got to send signals that things are going to be okay. We're going to be fine. And I'm not saying fake it till you make it. If you're uncertain, tell them you're uncertain. But I just feel like it's very imperative in this world that's topsy-turvy all the time. We need a few flight attendants still serving the Diet Cokes and saying, we're going to be just fine.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. There's so many examples we can point to. I just read an article about a plane that dropped several thousand feet in a very short period of time on a flight. And what they said is that during the drop, even though the masks came down, you know, that great fear that everybody has, they said over the intercom, the flight attendants kept saying, everything's fine, everyone stay calm. Everything's fine, everyone stay calm. And I think that's exactly the message that we send when we practice that principle.
No doubt about it. That's exactly it. So I think we need to never assume everybody is fine. We need to never assume everybody knows all that's going on. Maybe we need to say it and say it and say it again. But this is what a good flight attendant does. It's what a good leader does.
I love this. I love this. Yeah. So may I offer you some questions you can use to start this discussion? What changes are you experiencing right now? Sit down with a group of folks and just call out some of those changes. What narratives amongst those changes need to be adjusted? Sometimes different people in the room have different narratives going on in their heads about why those changes are occurring, right? Or what's going to happen as a result of those changes. And then another question you can ask is, how could clear and constant communication solve the problem? What we find a lot of times is that if the leader will say, here's what's going on, and continue to remind people, here's what's going on, what they can do is actually diffuse the tension and clearly communicate like a flight attendant. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Good. So number one is about troubleshooting. It's the normalization of defects that we need to address. Number two is staying in touch, the frequency of your communication. Number three, the last one here, is all about candor.
Mm.
It's kind of a hot topic in organizational leadership today, but it's all about giving and receiving feedback. Everybody says, oh, yeah, we want to have a place of candor, of vulnerability, transparency, but easier said than done.
Big time.
You would agree.
Big time.
So offering transparent feedback is an art and one that many leaders really actually find difficult today. We live in a day when giving feedback can be deemed as offensive, critical, intolerant, and aren't those words that we all worship today? And tolerance, and you know, yeah, everything's okay.
Yeah.
But there's times we got to be having tough conversations.
Yeah.
And we've had hard ones the last several months.
We have.
When we got honest with each other. The good news is we all knew we believed in each other and we loved each other.
Yep.
But boy, do we have some candid conversations on Monday mornings in yep. those leadership team meetings, especially.
Yes.
So it's huge. So authors Doug Stone and Sheila Heen suggest that feedback can fit into three buckets, okay? So all the giving and receiving of feedback, one of three categories.
Okay.
It can either be called under the bucket of affirmation.
Okay.
So I'm going to really affirm what I'm saying. I'm giving feedback, but you're going to like this feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Number two, coaching. That's where you may be coaching up someone in their behavior, their yeah. performance.
You did okay. Let me help you do better.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Exactly. And then the last one is evaluation. And that's a distinct type of feedback that you might do on a regular basis with a person that serves on your team that you could, let's just do some evaluation. And oftentimes you do evaluation and then follow with coaching. But I think they need to be distinctive
yes.
there.
Is it fair to say, too, that you as a leader want to balance all three? Meaning if you're constantly giving
yeah.
coaching and never giving affirmation or yeah. evaluation, you might be missing out on giving people really full, candid feedback.
I think well-rounded leaders do all three.
That's great.
And probably equally if you just look at the whole spectrum. Now, maybe there are seasons I might need a little more, you know, feedback than others, but I think a person needs to go, my relationship is healthy with you because I have a well-rounded dose of everything coming at me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
love that. Well, I know our team, like you've mentioned, has really started to thrive on this kind of feedback. And I would say before we had a culture where we said candid feedback is really important. But I think the difference is great leaders not only create the environment for candid mm-hmm. feedback, but when they get that feedback, they trust that the person giving it to them
yeah.
has their best interest at
yeah.
heart, and then they do something about it.
Yeah.
Whether that's they investigate it and find out it's not true and they don't
yep.
need to do anything
yep.
about it, or they investigate it, find out it is true, and
yeah.
and do something about it. And I think that's the piece that I felt like we were missing for a time is we said, you can give feedback about anything, but when we heard stuff we didn't want to hear, oftentimes we would
yeah.
either ignore it or
yep.
maybe kind of shove it under the rug or whatever it is. And I feel like we're now really dealing with what
yeah.
we needed to deal with.
I do too. And it's been so rich for me as the founder to look at leaders like yourself and others, men and women on our team, and more ethnically diverse than ever,
yeah.
really pitching in and using their gifts in a way that we haven't seen before.
I totally agree.
It's kind of fun.
It really is. It
yeah.
is fun.
So needless to say, we're at a better place as a result of these three big conversations
we are, yeah.
that we've had. And it's I think the sky's the limit now as we attempt to really equip the emerging generation to be those leaders we know they're capable of becoming.
We get really excited about that. Let me throw out just a few discussion questions or starters for that last one. Does your team practice safe and candid feedback? Which of these is most frequent? Are you guys more likely to do affirmation, coaching, or evaluation? Do you do all three, and how frequent are
yeah.
each of those things appearing? And then are there ways you can improve on that?
Yeah.
So just
Good.
A few questions that you can get started. Tim, thank you so much for leading us through this conversation. Thank you for leading our organization through this last season, because I think we're better on the other side of learning and practicing these principles. And I hope the same thing's true for you as you're listening to this podcast. Make these three things stuff that you guys practice, and I think you'll see some really positive results of that. Well, as always, we did mention earlier the Habitudes for the Art of Changing Culture. That's a really great resource. Like I mentioned, it's my favorite one. There's a lot of habitudes going on out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It's my favorite one because I think it's just so insightful. So Habitudes, the Art of Changing Culture is something you can pick up at growingleaders.com/store. You'll find it there. As always, if you actually rate this podcast, that really helps us out. Give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and that really helps get the word out about this podcast and what we're doing. As always, we would love for you to follow us on social media, connect with us there. We can kind of continue the conversation that started here on the podcast. So you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. That's at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for stuff you want us to talk about in this podcast, feedback for us, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those from you and engaging with you there. So Tim, thank you so much for this advice. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.